Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. It's good to have you join me today for another wonderful and inspiring conversation. And I know you will love the topic that we're going to be talking about today. But before we get there, I just want everyone to know that I will be lecturing in New York City on Saturday, May 10th. And that will be at the Natural Gourmet School. So you can check out the Natural Gourmet School. That's on 48 West 21st Street from 2 to 5 on Saturday, May 10th. I'm going to be doing a fantastic class that's all about getting your hormones back on track. So this is a wonderful opportunity to have some up close and personal time with me to learn the strategies that will really support you deal with all your hormonal challenges, health challenges, of whatever is up for you. We will be discussing and exploring some of the safe, effective options to help you in your healing process. So I hope you will check it out. I only come into New York City twice a year, so this is my semi-annual venture into the Big Apple. So that's May 10th. That's Saturday, May 10th, 2 to 5 p.m. And I am holding that class at the Natural Gourmet School, 48 West 21st Street. Hope to see as many of you there as possible. It's a great day. We do a lot of learning, healing, sampling, tasting, testing. So you'll have a lot of fun and a lot of empowerment, which is what this program, it's what my work is all about, empowering people with truthful information. And just to kind of give a heads up to all of my Australian and New Zealand listeners, I am preparing for a 10-week Down Under tour that will be covering many of the cities around Australia and the North and South Island. So that's going to be really exciting. I have lectures and workshops planned. I'll be speaking at a couple of conferences and expos. So check out my schedule. And the best way to do that is to go to my website, whatwomenmustknow.com, opt in there so I can send an e-blast with all the finalized dates and venues and cities that will be on the itinerary. And I'm looking forward to meeting all of my wonderful friends in Australia and New Zealand. And as always, it's so exciting for me to go down under and have some amazing experiences with everyone. So anyway, that's from May. I leave May 19th and start with an expo, Conscious Living Expo, in Sydney the weekend of the 24th and 25th of May. And then later in July, I'll be actually doing lectures and workshops in Sydney. But it's in Melbourne and Cairns and Adelaide and Canberra, on the Sunshine Coast, all over the country. And as I said, the North and South Islands. So anyway, that's coming up as well. So having gotten that said, I am really looking forward to my guest today. You know, I don't know if you've been noticing, but there are so many news stories and articles being written on the topic of probiotics and all the health benefits that are generated from the use of probiotics and supporting our own colonies of these microbiomes, these amazing beings that live within us. So today I am talking to an expert. He is Randy Porupkin, who's a biochemist who's been in the industry since 1968. Randy received his master's degree in biochemistry from the University of Wisconsin and has worked for 30 years in food and agricultural microbiology. And Randy has designed and built fermentation facilities around the world, has conducted business in over 30 countries, and has authored numerous patents and publications. He is involved and helped to create a wonderful company called Master Supplements in 2002 and was inspired to create digestive health products whose performance matched the research conducted on the raw materials unique for this category. So he is a real master of Master Supplements and the world and the research of probiotics. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Randy to the show. Hello, Randy.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for the nice introduction.
Well, it's all true. You're such a master in the subject. Did you ever think the day would come when probiotics would make, you know, major headlines?
You know, I got to be honest. If I go back 30, 35 years, I deep down inside, I knew it would happen because back then we were working with animals, farm animals largely, with probiotics. And we were getting such spectacular results, I knew it had to do the same for humans. It just took us some time and education to get there.
Well, the reason why I say that is because it is making the headlines, and I was just listening to NPR this week, and they had a medical doctor, and the whole show was about the concern that's emerging now from the use of antibiotics, and they talked about cesarean sections and how all of these things, and we have to throw in the pill as well, are compromising our microbiome, this community of trillions of microorganisms. I think they said 10 to, well, you'll tell us the stats.
About 100 trillion live microorganisms live in our gastrointestinal system.
Oh, God, I know. So if you know, that's why I'm amazed and delighted that this is getting such national attention, because we do have a big problem here. So why don't we start from the top here? Let's talk about probiotics. What are they? What
sure.
do they do? And why are we at risk right now?
Sure. Well, first of all, probiotics are bacteria, friendly bacteria. They live in two major genus or genera of microorganisms, the Lactobacillus genera and the Bifidobacterium genera. The lactobacilli, that would be plural for lactobacillus, live primarily in the small intestine, and the bifidobacteria like the anaerobic environment of the colon, the large intestine. And they're the police. They're the good guys that keep the bad guys under control so they don't take over. With these 100 trillion organisms that we have in our gastrointestinal system, there's probably around 1,000 different species. We don't know for sure. We don't even know the names of, in fact, most of them don't have names. But we know the microbiome. When they talk about microbiome, that's the whole assembly of all of these different microorganisms. We know their genetics. We may not have a name for them, but we know their genetic profiles. And one thing that's happened over the last several decades is there's been a decrease in the biodiversity in our microbiome, in our total flora, meaning there are fewer beneficial species cooperating with each other. Why has that happened? Well, for several reasons. Diet is one of them. A high sugar diet really encourages the wrong types of bacteria to grow. But the number one reason is antibiotic use. We've overused antibiotics, and of course they kill off good microflora, as we like to call them, rather than bacteria. As well as the harmful pathogens. And with indiscriminate use of antibiotics, both by medical doctors treating humans and by the agricultural community using them to feed animals, we've really decreased the biodiversity and increased our vulnerability to all kinds of diseases because of this. So probiotics are the best attempt we have right now to restore that biodiversity. And one thing we've learned there with probiotics, particularly in the last 5 years, is you need a lot of them. The first ones that came out were like a few million per tablet, and then they got up to maybe a billion or so per tablet. We're talking tens of billions of live probiotic cultures in one capsule or tablet is what you need per dose to make any kind of difference on that 100 trillion wild bugs. We like to call them bugs that you have down below. So strength is important, and restoring biodiversity and control is number one.
So we talked about the role of antibiotics, which, you know, the analogy I once heard I really like is like clear-cutting the rainforest. It just indiscriminately goes in and just kills everything, the ones that are harmful and the ones that are beneficial. But I just have to bring in the role of cesarean births, and how, which actually is on the increase, the number of women who are choosing cesarean births. And most people don't understand why that is a risk for the diversity of the appropriate healthy microorganisms. Do you want to say something about that?
Sure. Sure. You know, the etiology, first of all, these probiotics, both the bifidobacteria for the colon and the lactobacilli for the small intestine, is grass and soil. That's where they evolved. And, of course, cows would eat the grass, produce milk, and the good flora, the probiotic flora, would be present in the milk supply, in cheese and dairy products. The antibiotics really are not as discriminatory as they need to be. They will attack probiotics as well as pathogens, Salmonella, Listeria, the bad guys. And like I was saying before, when we decrease the number of probiotics in our total flora, we're now vulnerable to many types of diseases. Your analogy of clearing the forest, the clear cut, is very good, because that is what happens.
And so go ahead.
I'm sorry, and the other part of your question.
Oh, it's about the risk from cesarean birth to our microbiome.
Right, right. I'm sorry. What we know is when a child is born by natural vaginal delivery, the first a fetus is essentially sterile, as far as we know, in the womb. There's no microorganisms, either on or in the intestinal tract of a baby in the womb. When the baby's born, it gets its first microorganisms from the mother's birth canal. Usually, if everything was done right, the mother took care of herself, ate well, took her supplements, you're going to get lactobacilli starting in the small intestine of the baby and bifidobacteria starting in the colon. This is well documented. On a cesarean birth, it's a little different. The first microorganisms that the baby encounters can be quite different. And statistics show us that it's more common to find E. coli starting in the small intestine of a cesarean baby and Clostridia starting in the colon, which can be a problem if we don't get some probiotics, some lactobacilli and bifo into the baby, because you're going to have a colic condition, you're going to have other early diseases starting because of the wrong flora.
And part of that,
doctors are starting to appreciate this. Gynecologists are starting to appreciate this and recommending the new generation of probiotics, which we need to talk about today.
Okay, we will. Because part of the problem with a cesarean birth is that these babies, instead of getting inoculated by these good microorganisms when they go through the vaginal tract, which is the natural way that nature designed it, they are being lifted up out of the room surgically, out of the womb surgically, and breathing their first breath in the emergency operating theater room. And that is where they get inoculated with the inappropriate types of organisms. Is that correct? Yes. Is that correct?
And even, the surgical procedures, even though, the nurses and doctors are wearing gloves and masks and everything, let's face it, when you open up person, it's not a totally sterile environment. And some of the flora that could be in the peritoneal cavity can be part of a new inoculum for the baby, or numerous other possibilities. The bottom line is that baby is more vulnerable because of not having a probiotic flora than a normally birth child.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about all those cesarean births, because I see so many of these children. They have eczema, they have skin issues, they're colicky, like you said, and I always recommend probiotics for them, because that is the key. That's what's the problem. They never were inoculated with the proper microorganisms to support their digestive system and
yes.
have a healthy
speaking of eczema. That's a good point, because we just completed a trial recently it was done in Copenhagen, at the University of Copenhagen, in December of 2010, so not that recently. But it was very dramatic. One of the bifidobacteria strains that we have in our Theralac product, called the BIO7 strain, was given to 50 children, 7 to 24 months old. Most of them were delivered vaginally. I don't have the exact numbers there. There were some cesarean deliveries in there. But we gave this particular bifidobacteria 10 billion cultures per day, or colony-forming units per day, for eight weeks. And there was a dramatic reduction in atopic dermatitis, or eczema-type conditions, in those treated children, where the placebo-treated did not show that reduction at all. And, of course, one of the things the doctors wanted to know is how do you explain this? And the one thing we know is when you give that kind of a dose, particularly of a bifidobacterium that can adhere, that can colonize your intestinal surfaces, you're going to limit leaky gut syndrome. And leaky gut, we all have it, little pinholes in our intestinal wall and those little fingers called villi that can allow partially digested food, particularly proteins, to leak into the bloodstream. And then if your immune system is overreacting, it attacks these relatively harmless proteins, but it doesn't know they're harmless. And you have inflammation reactions, and many times they turn up to be skin conditions as a first symptom. We've been able to limit that with specific probiotic strains. When you mentioned
right, you know, that's why this topic is so important, because we're dealing with an aspect of our health that is so fundamental. So let's can we talk a little bit about what these microorganisms do?
Sure.
In our small and large intestine.
Sure. Number one, you know, probiotics started in earnest about in the U.S. market about 15, 20 years ago. But it's been only in the last 5 years that we've had a number of companies now out with products that truly work. And by work, I mean, you know, you can feel their effects in your body after you take them for a week or even less. And what's the number one effect you feel is regularity? I don't care if you've had a history of constipation or loose stools, diarrhea. A good probiotic will normalize your flora and correct both conditions. What they do, the good ones, this is what we call the sticky strains, actually adhere to the intestinal wall in your small intestine and in your large intestine and keep it healthy. They make tiny quantities of lactic acid, which is a food acid used in pickles, it's in olives, it's in cheese and buttermilk and yogurt. And that lactic acid is what the probiotics produce to control their environment and keep the bad guys away. And when you have a probiotic culture in your system, you're not anywhere near as vulnerable to food poisoning, to undesirable microorganisms that come in your food every day. You're much more resistant to maintaining a normal digestive process and not being upset because the wrong bugs happen to enter on a particular day. But so colonization, the number one thing they do, Cheryl, is colonize surfaces, and then they like to eat prebiotics, which are special fibers, soluble fibers. So they don't have the same diet as the bad bugs. And that gets into the importance of one other very, very important category of supplements, digestive enzymes. Because they work together with probiotics. Some people confuse the two. Probiotics are actually live, friendly microorganisms. And enzymes are protein molecules. They're not alive, but they're viable. They can actually catalyze digestion of your various foodstuffs that you eat. If your pancreas is not producing enough digestive enzymes, amylase for starches, lipase for fats, proteases for proteins, a lot of that partially digested food is going to make it deep into your intestinal tract, and it's going to feed the wrong kind of bacteria, the Clostridia and the enterococci, the proteobacteria, the guys that compete with the probiotics but aren't really the good guys. And now it's a lot more difficult to have a probiotic effect because you're feeding the wrong flora by not having enough enzymes. So when you take a digestive enzyme like our Enzylase or some of the other good ones on the market with dinner, you're going to prevent a lot of that undigested food from making it deep in your intestinal tract. And then the probiotics, whether you're taking them or whether you're just stimulating your indigenous probiotics, are going to do better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I find that everyone really needs to support their digestion with some digestive enzymes. It makes such a big difference. And, you know, I think we're suffering from a huge epidemic of compromised gut functioning, you know, and it's subtle because often people don't understand that so many of their health conditions are directly related to their poor microbiome because it's been disturbed or destroyed.
More and more people are realizing it today. You know, probiotics are actually, if you discount multiple vitamins, they're the number one selling category of supplements today. They actually were always a little bit behind omega-3 supplements, but here in the last 2 years, they've come to be beyond omega-3 in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're working. The new formulas are working.
I have a question to ask you, and there are a lot of things we're going to touch on in our conversation, but this is a question that just popped up. There's a lot of interest in fermented foods, and, you know, fermented foods are fermented through the introduction of certain strains of bacteria. But do you actually get the benefit of restoring and populating your microbiome through fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi and kefir, or
yogurt?
Is it more they're just easily absorbed foods?
Okay, real important questions, Cheryl. Fermented foods are fermented by bacteria in the same family as the probiotic bacteria. So, for example, pickles and olives would be fermented by Lactobacillus plantarum. I used to build factories that produced the plantarum specifically for that purpose. By the way, plantarum is a probiotic as well, and it's become popular here just recently. The fermented food doesn't contain enough live probiotic bacteria to do you much good. Maybe a couple million per spoonful, and then they don't get delivered completely through the stomach. But the lactic acid that's in the fermented food that the culture made earlier when it was being prepared does have some value for you. Because I just, like I was saying earlier, one of the ways probiotics work, the ones that colonize your intestinal wall, is they make lactic acid inside you, in your intestinal tract. Well, if you're consuming, let's say, a good kosher pickle or a cup of yogurt or butter or half a glass of buttermilk, you're consuming lactic acid. So you're going to have some initial effects. If you happen to eat something like an E. coli hamburger where it wasn't cooked well enough and you were eating it with fermented foods, there's going to be some counteraction of the bad guys in the food from the lactic acid in the fermented food that you're eating. But there's no lasting effects. There's no colonization. There's nowhere near enough live bacteria to make it through and give you a lasting effect. So that's where a supplement probiotic is significantly different. Like in our Theralac, we talk about 30 billion, with a B, live cultures per serving, per capsule. You would have to take, on the best yogurts that are on the market, you would have to eat at least 200 cups of the best yogurt to equal one capsule that contains 30 billion.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's your answer. There's some benefit. If you, in the case of yogurt, if you can withstand the 17 grams of sugar that's in a serving, the yogurt is a good food. The protein, particularly the whey protein, has been conditioned by fermentation to be quite digestible. It's a good food for people that can take dairy, but it's not a good probiotic.
Right, and that's an important distinction. There's some benefits, like you said, from the lactic acid, but it's not the solution to really recolonize these important bacteria in your gut.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the role of probiotics and weight and what the current research is saying.
Yeah, there's some really interesting current research on weight regarding what flora you have in your colon. A lot of it's been done in Europe, in the European Union, just recently, last 3 years. They do these experiments with mice because it's very hard to control all the various parameters they have to control with human studies. What they found, Cheryl, is if you start with germ-free mice, now that means these are baby mice that were raised in a totally sterile environment. The food was sterile, the air was sterile, so they don't have any bacteria in them at all. And if you feed those germ-free mice a high-fat version, terrible version of a typical Western diet, they stay thin. They don't get fat. Remember now, they have no bacteria in their colon. And you're feeding them a sterile version of a typical high-fat, high-sugar Western diet. They stay lean. They don't get fat. Now, if you transfer by fecal transplant the flora from a fat mouse, a regular mouse now that wasn't germ-free, but has a flora, take that intestinal flora and transfer it into the germ-free mouse, it's still on that same diet. It gets fat. The bacteria from the fat mouse make the germ-free mouse fat. At the same time, with a different group of germ-free mice, if you transfer the flora from a lean mouse, a regular mouse that was raised under normal conditions but was lean, you took its intestinal flora by fecal transplant into that germ-free mouse, it stays thin. So that was a real revelation. That told scientists that whatever flora we have in our colon, whatever the identity of it is, that can determine whether we're going to stay fat or thin, whether we're going to get fat or stay thin. Okay, it works that way in humans. Now, they haven't been able to do the germ-free, obviously, there's no humans raised in a germ-free environment. But if you do a fecal transplant from a person that's obese and give them some of the flora from a thin person, usually a family person, this is done by enema, they can start to lose weight because their flora is changing. Also, giving the fat person some probiotics can help dramatically. And it all comes down to a ratio that we biochemists and microbiologists call the F to B ratio. Bacteria are in their own kingdom. They're not plants, they're not animals. They're bacteria. And within the bacteria kingdom, you've got two huge phyla, the Firmicutes, which is the F phyla, and the Bacteroides, which is the B, like in boy phyla. If that F to B ratio gets way out of kilter, if you get way more F than B, you're going to get fat. You're going to be fat. If you can get that F to B ratio back in balance to where it's about 1:1, you're going to be thin. Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing, and we need to take a break now, but we have more amazing information to share with everyone about the world of probiotics and how important probiotics are for helping to restore our health and maintain our health. So stay tuned. More amazing information to share with you. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and you are listening to What Women Must Know. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You are listening to What Women Must Know. And today we are having this fascinating conversation with Randy Porupkin, who has been in the area, in the field of probiotic research, really leading edge research for the past 40 years. And he has also issued over 20 patents. 20 patents have been issued to him. And he is just world-renowned for his expertise in the field, in the world of probiotics. And he's also the CEO and founder of Master Supplements. And we're going to talk about how to choose some really good probiotics a little bit down the track in the show. But I want to go back to some of the health benefits of probiotics. Randy, you know, you were talking about how obese people have a different ratio of these important bacteria. So my question is, how did that happen? How did they get so out of balance?
You know, that's the $64 question. I wish I could give you a real straight answer. What we, you know, we scientists say when we don't understand something, but we've done some good experiments that prove an effect, we say the empirical result is if you have this ratio, this in the case of obesity, F to B ratio in balance, you have a much better chance of losing weight, feeling comfortable with that weight loss than if you don't. And why is kind of where we are with the research right now. Now, there's some speculation. If you get there's certain bacteria, I don't want to throw out a lot of big names, but the Mollicutes group of bacteria, it's a class within the F part of the ratio. If they get to dominate your flora, it's really hard to lose weight. Where do they come from? They come from the environment. They come from food. You know, none of the food you eat is sterile. Some areas may have more of these Mollicutes than others. If your immune system is down, if you're under a little bit of stress, if you're eating a fatty, high-sugar diet, even a good Western diet, you're going to be much more vulnerable to these guys taking over control of your flora. Now, probiotics can help. These high-strength probiotics that I was talking about, when you've got, you know, 20, 30 billion per capsule or more, they can certainly help. But you have to help yourself as well, and diet is important. The number one thing we've learned with diet, it's so simple it's amazing, is reduce sugar. We all eat too much sugar. And sugar feeds these undesirable microbes, the ones that make you fat, the ones that give you other diseases. Probiotics eat sugar as well, but they prefer fiber, soluble fiber, what we call prebiotics, that you get in good fresh fruits and vegetables. And you can buy fiber supplements. You know, we've got a product called True Fiber, which just feeds the probiotics. But sugar feeds everything. And if you can take, if you take a strong probiotic and you can reduce the amount of sugar you're eating, particularly fructose-type sugars, high fructose corn syrup, we call fructans, fructooligosaccharides, which for the longest time were thought to be a good prebiotic, really are not, because they feed too many different types of bacteria. Honey, agave syrup, apples and pears, which are healthy to take if you have your flora under control, but they can actually, the sugar can actually create problems if your flora is out of control. So watch the sugar, drink lots of water, and in the case of our Theralac, we would recommend for somebody that definitely is having GI issues, we'd recommend 2 to 4 capsules a day until symptoms improve.
Oh, wow.
And then you can back off to 1 a day.
So I read a study that showed that after one high-fat McDonald's kind of meal, you can alter your gut flora in such a way that they are now contributing to weight gain and processing more carbs. Have you come across any of that research?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. You know, when you think about a typical McDonald's meal, you're getting a lot of fat and you're drinking a sugared beverage, most likely. So you're getting a fatty diet with beef, most likely, or chicken, with a lot of sugar. That's exactly the diet that these Mollicutes would like to have arrive in the large intestine.
Wow. Yeah, that's her favorite meal.
Now, I would add this to that, based on what we just talked about a little while ago. If you're going to McDonald's and eating a Happy Meal or a big meal, and you're short on enzymes as well, your pancreas isn't making enough digestive enzymes, a lot of that meal is not going to be thoroughly digested in the small intestine, which you know very well is where you want to get digestion and absorption. A lot of it's going to make it down deep into the lower part of the small intestine, the ileum, and the colon, and feed these wrong bacteria. So I don't disagree at all that one meal could do that to you, particularly if you're short of enzymes.
Right. What are some of the other health conditions that can benefit from the use of probiotics?
Well, you know, we work with a lot of doctors. When I started this company 11 years ago, we didn't sell through stores at that time. We just started with the internet. Mostly it was doctors. And the number one use, of course, was any patient that had been on antibiotics had to be on our Theralac for at least 2 weeks after taking the antibiotics. to restore the healthy the probiotic flora. We've learned a lot, and there's research going on right now around the world on the various capabilities probiotics have. It doesn't cease to amaze me. Specifically, to give you one condition that a lot of people suffer from is SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Now, most of your bacteria should be in your colon. And if the small intestine, in the middle section of the small intestine, you should have around 100,000 bacteria per milliliter of contents. That's a small amount. Milliliter is about one-thirtieth of an ounce. About 100,000. If that gets up to around a billion per milliliter in the small intestine, you've got what we call SIBO, and you're going to have gas and bloating right after a meal. I mean, with some people, it's instant. That means their small intestinal flora is way out of balance. Once again, no sugar, lots of water, and heavy-duty probiotics. Some, if it's really serious, have to be put on a special antibiotic called rifaximin. Dr. Wheel has talked about some natural ways to control that in addition to probiotics. Oregano oil and garlic can slow down SIBO, as we call it, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, as opposed to taking a chemical antibiotic.
So if people have bloating and gas after a meal, it would be a good idea to take a good probiotic.
Take a good probiotic, really watch your sugar. Yeah. And if it's serious, if you can't control it after a week or so on a high-strength probiotic, you don't want to stop the probiotic. In that case, you'd want to probably try something like some garlic pills.
Mm-hmm. Or oregano oil.
Or diluted oregano oil.
Let's talk about candida, which is a big problem as well.
Yes. We've got a different formula for candida. The Theralac, just for people that are listening, it's theralac.com, and you can find out a lot about what I'm talking here on our website. We're one of the really good probiotics with Theralac because we guarantee it through expiration. It's got 5 clinically tested strains, and it does help against candida yeast, but we needed something even more powerful to go after candida. Before I tell you that, just a little explanation. Candida yeast cells are much bigger than probiotic cells. By an analogy, if a Candida albicans yeast cell is the size of a football, by analogy, a lactobacillus is the size of a jelly bean.
Hmm. Hmm.
So when a yeast cell takes over your intestinal tract because you're eating way too much sugar or you've just taken antibiotics and reduced the competition, the antibiotics don't affect the yeast. They just affect bacteria. So what happens if you've been on an antibiotic regimen, you're gonna have a much bigger chance of having a yeast infection after that because they gain foothold. They morph, as we say, and they spring little feet, little hyphae or little tentacles that allows them to hang on to the intestinal wall. We have a product called TruFlora, which is a combination of special enzymes with probiotics. What you need to do when candida starts to become a real problem, the disease is called candidiasis if it's diagnosed as an infection. You need the enzyme beta-glucanase, which digests the yeast cell wall, because it's made of beta-glucans. And you need some powerful lactobacillus probiotics, like the lactobacillus plantarum I was discussing earlier, to produce lactic acid in the intestinal tract so the yeast doesn't reattach somewhere deeper. So it's a two-pronged approach, an enzyme that actually digests the yeast cell wall material and a probiotic that produces a lot of lactic acid to keep the yeast from reattaching. And then limit sugar and, once again, lots of water. And you can actually get rid of a yeast infection just doing that. Some people, if it's ultra severe, might have to go on an antifungal medication like Diflucan or Nystatin. Also, in that case, you want to be on a probiotic like Truflora. And whenever you're taking a probiotic, whether it's Theraloc or Truflora or somebody else's product, you always want to take it with 3 hours separation from a drug you're taking, never at the same exact time. So if you're taking Rifaximin, 3 hours later you could take a dose of a probiotic, or 3 hours earlier. Important point. But yeast, candidiasis can be prevented. It can be prevented because what we got to do is get your bacterial flora, your friendly bacterial flora, back to normal. And then the yeast isn't going to do very well at all. We all have the candida in us. There's not a person that doesn't have some candida cells in their intestinal tract. It's just the majority of us don't have candidiasis because they haven't morphed. They haven't been given the opportunity because they're real opportunists to become pathogenic.
You know, and that's such an important point that people need to understand. It's like candida is part of the different strains that exist within our gut. But what happens when you take an antibiotic or an antibiotic-like substance, such as the pill, which has that antibiotic effect, and you're clear-cutting the rainforest, then all these invasive species move in. It's kind of like when you clear-cut any area, invasive species will move in that don't belong in that neighborhood.
You got it. That's it.
And that's when all these imbalances occur. So it's about restoring balance. And one thing that I think is important to say, and that is that when you're taking an antibiotic for whatever reason, hopefully you only take it when you really need it, which isn't very often, but it's a time that you should be taking a probiotic like Theralac, right, at the same time. It's not going to be...
Yes.
It's not going to be...
You know, Cheryl, when we first started 11 years ago, we were advising doctors to recommend the probiotic like Theralac after a person finished the antibiotic regimen. The thing we ran into is doctors that were treating very chronic diseases, like Richard Horowitz out in New York, his patients were on antibiotics continuously. He treats a lot of Lyme disease.
Right.
So that's when we discovered, working through these doctors, that a three-hour separation was important, and you needed to take them with the antibiotics, but with that three-hour separation. And when you finally finished the antibiotics, you had to stay on the probiotics for at least a month daily to make sure you restored all the flora properly.
Okay, that's really good advice, and I think that's so important because that will prevent all the consequences of taking antibiotics, how it just knocks everything out of whack and you have severe yeast infections and other digestive issues after a round of antibiotics. So,
yep.
So that prevents it. What else is benefited by taking probiotics? What about its probiotics' role with immunity?
Big item, a big area. In fact, we're doing some research right now with a couple of doctors. I was just on a conference call with them this last week. What we're doing is cytochrome panels. What the heck is that? Cytochromes are the little molecular messages that our cells use to talk to each other, particularly in the immune system. Everybody's kind of heard of T cells. You know, a person with AIDS is going to have a much lower T cell count than a person doesn't have AIDS. To put it in perspective, because that's why a lot of people know about T cells. There's two major types, Th1 and Th2, and they're on two opposite sides of the immune system. The Th1 is on the inflammatory side. It wakes up the macrophages. These are the white blood cells that can gobble up germs once they're activated, but they need to be activated. So the Th1 cells send out little messages, cytokines, to activate the macrophages and the neutrophils and eosinophils and the other good guys, good white blood cells. On the other side of the equation, the Th2, you have the ability to calm things down. Th2 will activate the production of antibodies, but it'll also communicate with regulatory mechanisms, we call the Treg cells, that produce a special cytokine called IL-10. Which calms everything down and prevents an overreaction or an autoimmune response. Probiotics, if they're balanced right, can affect both sides of the immune equation, Th1 as well as Th2, because both are important. When you get an infection with E. coli, You want the Th1 side to be working, even though it's inflammatory. But when the infection is defeated, largely defeated, you want that to stop. And that's what the Th2 side does, if it's working right. Probiotics, lactobacilli, generally help out on the Th1 side, and bifidobacteria help out on the Th2 side. And we've got clinical tests on the strains in Theralac that prove that. That's why we've got 10 billion cultures of each, both bifido on the and on the control side, and lactobacillus on the Th1 side. So it's balanced. So what we call that is modulating the immune system. We're not stimulating the immune system, because that would indicate we're just working on one side. We're giving attention to both sides of the immune equation, both types of T cells. They're the quarterbacks, in a balanced manner. And now, by being modulated, the immune system is up and ready to work when it's hit with a threat, with very little lag phase or delay, as we like to say. And it's true. I mean, we're going to be doing panels with patients, Lyme patients, that are on significant antibiotic doses, three broad spectrums a day. I mean, like doxycycline, Cipro, and Zithromax. Can you imagine taking all three of those every day?
No, I can't.
These poor people are.
I'm surviving.
It's the only way they could function.
Yeah.
Because of this Lyme pathogen. Anyway, high-dose probiotics have literally saved these people. I mean, they were in the bathroom 15, 20 times a day before we went on to the high-strength probiotics, like the 30 billion Theralac. Now, at least, they have a sensible life that they can live with those kind of antibiotic doses. But
you know,
it's a tough thing. What we're gonna do now is, with the new research, is do an in-depth study on the various cytokines, molecular messages that are elaborated when a particular probiotic is taken versus another one. And of course, that's what your immunologists and your doctors like to see. For the average person, what does it mean? If you're on a good probiotic, like say you're on one capsule of Theralac a day or one capsule of Truflora a day, and you run into just a relatively run-of-the-mill pathogen, you're going to survive that. Your immune system is going to be able to defend that, and you're not going to even feel like anything's happened. If you hit a real dense number of, like if you're in Mexico and you happen to eat a salad with the local fertilizer on it, you better be on probiotics, but you're still going to have some food poisoning effects. They're just going to be much milder than if you were not on a probiotic.
So you want to have your probiotics when you travel anywhere.
When you travel, you want to be on a couple of weeks before you take a trip, particularly if you're going out of country, you want to be on one a day of a product like Theralac, and then when you get there, you want to be on two a day, one in the morning and one in the evening.
Everybody knows
not to drink the water. I used to travel a lot, as you said in my resume. I can remember being in Indonesia and buying bottled water and thinking it was going to be safe, and then we come to find out they were refilling Evian bottles from a local water supply, and you thought you were buying Evian in the local kiosks. No, you were getting local groundwater. So you can't have enough protection when you're traveling places like that.
And you know, Randy, I recently had some minor oral surgery, and one of the things I did to just help the body recover was I just took those, Theralac supplements and made sure I had plenty of probiotics to help my immune system recover. It's part of what I do. And I just want to mention something real briefly. I do a lot of genomic testing, and we look at the inflammatory cytokines. And one of the things that we know is that probiotics helped to support the genes that people come in with, their inflammatory genes, their pro-inflammatory genes, or their anti-inflammatory genes that are not functioning well. They're not giving the right messages, so they can't do the job properly. And the probiotics really support those genes to get the kind of help that they need to give the right message to manage inflammation or shut it down,
sure,
as the case may be.
Well, you want to get a little kick with TNF-alpha and IL-6 at first, but boy, you want the IL-10 to come in a little bit later to calm everything down. And that's the difference between stimulation and modulation.
Right. Well, you're talking my language. I don't know if most other people understand, but it makes sense to me. And that leads me to the next question. What do we need to know in order to choose an effective probiotic? As you said, probiotics have gotten really popular. They're promoted
yep.
all over the place. But we need to find the probiotics that actually will do the job. Otherwise, you're wasting your money.
Okay. Let's go through that. And I'm going to be real open with everybody here. Sure, I like to sell Theralac, but I want to educate people. We've got some good competitors, and we've got a lot of bad competitors. How do you sort them out? When I do trainings or my people do trainings with health food store personnel, one of the first things they want to do is march us in front of the refrigerator and say, tell us a little bit about all your competitors here. What are the other good ones? First of all, number one, if it's not in a refrigerator, it's not any good. I don't care what they say. You have to refrigerate probiotics, and they've got to be guaranteed through expiration, not at time of manufacture. A lot of them are guaranteed at time of manufacture, which means they can be legally dead on the shelf. If they're guaranteed through expiration, and they say 30 billion or 20 billion, whatever, they got to have that count all the way through their expiration date. So you want to be in a refrigerator, you want to be guaranteed through expiration, you want to have multiple strains, but not too many. Because too many, it's too hard to get the right amount, the right number of each one if you've got 15, 20 strains. Four, five, six strains is enough, providing they're compatible. So the company you're buying from, they should have something on their website that says that their strains are compatible, and that they've been clinically tested. Like with Theralac, the strains in Theralac, we've got numerous clinical tests where they've been used for a variety of maladies and diseases. But here's the problem. We can't, as a dietary supplement, we can't review those studies because we're not a drug. Now, a doctor can. You can, Cheryl. I can't tell you to take Theralac for dysentery or for a diarrheal infection. But you can as a doctor, and we've got studies on that. The problem is we don't have $30 million worth of studies, which is what you have to get an NDA, a new drug application. So we have to sell this as a dietary supplement, and we can only make structure function claims for what it does. It helps healthy people stay healthy because it maintains their healthy structure and their healthy function. So keep that in mind when we're talking here that there are studies on these strains, but we got to be careful how we detail them to the general public. But clinically tested strains, guaranteed through expiration, you got to have multi-billions. If you don't have at least 10 billion cultures or CFU, as we call them, colony-forming units, guaranteed per capsule, you're not going to come close to being effective. 30 billion seems to be right around the magic number that you need where one capsule can make a difference. What's the first response you're going to see? Number one is regularity. Whether you're constipated or loose, it's going to stabilize your stools rapidly. And then energy. The next thing is you're going to notice that you're not sleepy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon anymore because your intestinal flora are not fighting each other. You don't have bug wars going on down there. Things are in balance. Other attributes to look for, we're packaged in glass bottles, nitrogen flushed so that there's a long shelf life, even longer than our guarantee. A lot of products are packaged in plastic bottles. If they're in a refrigerator, that's not so bad. If they're at room temperature, that's really bad. Because actually oxygen and moisture can, believe it or not, can make it through a plastic bottle slowly. Are there any prebiotics in the product? Prebiotics are those special foods that we don't eat, we don't digest, but probiotics do.
Oh, you know, Randy, I'm sorry to have to stop you here, but I've lost all track of time.
Oh, my goodness.
So interesting. We've come to the end. So I want to thank you for the passion you have in this work and really helping people to stay healthy and get healthy. I am just very grateful for everything you've been doing. And I just want to thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're very welcome, Cheryl.
So thank you, Randy Perupkin, for his great work. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.